Welcome back to Moms Unbothered, the show where we ditch the toxins, trust our instincts, embrace a healthy lifestyle, and don't care who it bothers. I'm Kate.
And I'm Jordan.
Today we are talking with Sydney, who also has an online presence of over 70,000 followers on Instagram. What started as a fitness account for her has turned into so much more. We deep dive into her relationship with God, how she was able to find the strength to leave a relationship that was unequally yoked. We talk about heartbreaks we have faced and how God has transformed our lives for the better. Before we get into this, if you love conversations that challenge the status quo and help you level up your health, take 2 seconds to hit that like button, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or leave a quick review if you're a podcast listener. It helps more moms like you find this podcast. And let's be real, the more of us out there, the less we have to explain why we don't let our kids eat McDonald's. All right, today we have my friend Sydney, and she is actually in California. Sydney and I met, well, virtually, 5 or 6 years ago. I started following her before I did social media at all. I just simply found her account because she has a fitness account. Now she's kind of more like faith-based and fitness. But Sydney's story is so crazy aligned with mine in that we both went through like heartbreaking breakups at the same time. And it's so crazy because we both kind of lived, you know, a life where, yeah, we believed in God, but where we was like our faith, our sole focus in our day-to-day lives? Probably not. And it was so cool to, Sydney had posted something about like going through a really hard breakup, and I texted her and I was like, wait, I'm going through the same exact thing. Like, this is crazy. We should like lean on each other for support, because Sydney's relationship ultimately ended because she knew that this relationship was not from God. He was calling her out of it. And she took the kind of just obeyed and like followed God's word, even though she had no idea what was to come of it. And I also was getting out of the relationship with my son's dad at the same time. And I was going through the same thing. And so Sydney and I kind of decided to lean on each other during this time period. And I will say, it's so hard to live in a godly way in a worldly world where everyone is always telling you, oh, do like follow your heart, do what you want. Like, you only live one life. And we could have totally stayed in these relationships if we wanted to, right? It was just, these were not people from God for us. And I remember there have been like small moments in both of our journeys where, you know, I would text. Well, first, Sydney had texted me one night. He was like, hey, have you ever heard of Lot's wife? And I was like, what are you talking about? And I looked it up, and it was essentially like, God told Lot's wife, like, do not keep looking back on your past life. And she turned to stone, sand,
like a pillar of salt.
Pillar of salt. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading that Bible verse. And at first, one, it gave me anxiety because I was like, oh my gosh, this has to be a sign from God. Like, God, Sydney didn't just choose to like, hey, I'm just going to text Mary Kate this randomly. Like, God had to have put this in Sydney's heart to text me. And I remember I was like frustrated at first. I was like, why would you send me that? Like, this is like insane. You're giving me anxiety. And I really sat with it. And I was like, this has to just be a sign from God. And like, it was in that moment where I was like, I can't go back. No matter what, no matter if, you know, I think things are changing, or if, you know, I'm feeling so lonely, no matter if I don't get married for the rest of my life, I just stay single. I have one child and that's God's plan for me. Like, I cannot go back. God has given me my warning. And then another thing happened with Sydney. Like, I had texted her one day a Bible verse, and I forget when it was, but it was essentially saying, like, if you are tempted to go back, you can't go back. And I like screenshotted it and sent it to her. And she was like, wait, this is crazy. I literally was just in contact with my ex recently. And like, I'm tempted to, you know, entertain the idea again. And I was like, dude, this is a sign. Like, you cannot go back. So I would love for Sydney to kind of go through her like journey with faith, because, you know, as a girl in your 20s, it's really hard to not live a worldly way and fall into temptation and do all of the things that normal 20-year-olds do. So, Sydney, I would love if you can take it away and just kind of tell your story.
Okay. So I'm like, where do I start? So I feel like, because I actually just got baptized finally on like last Sunday. So it's funny because I like just kind of had all of this like prepared anyways, because I said something like to all my friends beforehand. So I grew up in a Christian home, but like, I think because I grew up around it, it just like was just words to me. Like, I believed it, I guess, but I didn't really know like what the depths of what I was believing was. And so when I got to college, I just kind of like did my own thing and then moved out here to California. I'm in San Diego now. I've been here since 2020. And for the first I guess, few years here, I was still just kind of doing my own thing, just living in the world, in and out of just like situationships that like weren't the healthiest. And then I feel like eventually I like started to pursue my faith a little bit again, just like kind of doing random little Bible studies. I started, like, I went to church finally, and I still, that was like kind of half in, half out of it kind of thing. And that's when I met my ex. And so, yeah, whenever I met him, since it was a very worldly relationship and like he wasn't pursuing God at all, that kind of pulled me away. And I feel like I had little convictions, but I tried to avoid like anywhere that created those. Like, I stopped going to church. I stopped talking to my Christian friends. Like, I stopped reading the Bible just because I didn't want to feel conviction. And then, yeah, eventually it was like a slow and steady just kind of pull of like, I know I'm far from God. And like, I did not feel peace with that. It actually really scared me. I think a lot of it was fear at first, more than anything. And then, yeah, slowly but surely, I think it got to the point, I remember writing in my journal, just basically like, okay, well, I can't do this. Like, I don't have the strength to break up with him. Like, I want this relationship, so I don't really know what to do. But like, I also don't want to be far from you, because like, I'm scared of that, obviously. And yeah, right after I prayed that prayer, there was just like a lot of little things that happened that kind of, I guess, opened the door for me to end that, which was still really difficult. But whenever I did finally end that relationship was when I feel like I kind of gave up like my whole old life. It was like the places I went, the things I did, the music I listened to, the guys I talked to, whatever. It was like a complete 180. But it was really cool because actually the day that I was supposed to end that relationship, I was like texting my friend. I was like, I actually can't do this. Like, I don't know how these words are going to come out of my mouth. And she was like, just come to church this morning and just like see, you know, if you get any strength from that. So I went, and the message was like on the passage where Jesus is, he's like talking to the woman that was caught in adultery. And he's basically like, the Pharisees are like wanting to stone her because that was like the rule back then. And Jesus was like, okay, if any of you guys have not ever sinned, like you can throw the first stone, and like nobody could. And then Jesus was like, okay, I don't condemn you either, but go now and leave your life of sin. It was literally like, I've never had a sermon more like right at me. I was like, does everyone know that this is like directed at me? It gave me, I think it was like the maybe the love part that I need to see of like, wow, God's so intentional, like he's pursuing me. And it became like, oh, I'm not giving this up because I'm scared of not knowing God. It was like, oh, he really loves me. Like, he has been pursuing me, and I really needed that to, I think, desire to end that relationship more. So anyways, yeah, I ended it, and it was like the hardest day of my whole life. But I think God really did meet me on that day too, with just like so much grace, so much love. And then, yeah, I've kind of been like on fire for Jesus ever since. But as Mary Kate knows, like, there's days when even when you're on fire for it, it's like the emotions want to pull you back to what you're comfortable in, or even like the good parts of it that weren't necessarily like sinful, just like the companionship and things like that. But yeah, he's been so faithful to just bring me such an awesome community. Like on Sunday when I got baptized, it was just crazy. There was like maybe over 20 people there who I'm all really close to now. And I did not have that many friends before, especially not believing friends. So it was just like, wow, he's so, yeah, so faithful, so intentional. And yeah, that's kind of like a Spark Notes version of kind of my story and journey. But it definitely took me like being definitely broken to actually turn to him. Like, it wasn't just, yeah, I think I kept trying to get into it, but it's like he needed me to literally be like totally dependent on him to actually like pursue it. So yeah,
for sure. And I think also when people like, you know, hear my story, or on, if you guys don't know, Sydney also has like an Instagram page, she has a large following, I'll have her plug all of that later. But I think when people watch our lives, you're really good about showing like the really hard parts. Like, you, like, I feel like I like just watching from your stories, like, you are good at like telling people, like, you know, this hasn't all been like rainbows and sunshines. Like, it's not like I woke up one day and I was like, you know what, I'm good. This is the day that I'm going to give my life to God. It's like, it's been like so much heartbreak. And, you know, every day it's like, you have to make the decision to not lean on your own understanding and just follow God's word. And I think that's why it's so important that if you are trying to start a relationship with God, you are reading your Bible. You are like doing some type of daily devotional, because you have to lean on God's promises, not how you're feeling in a world that is full of sin and full of temptation. And I highly encourage, like, if girls in their 20s or in their teens or even in like your 30s, if you are trying to find a relationship with God or start a relationship with God, I highly recommend you start finding people who are also on the same journey and can hold you accountable, because it's so easy to hang out with your friends who aren't close to God, who are okay with sinning, and maybe they're not even realizing they're sinning. Like, it's not like I went through my teens and my 20s just being like, oh, I know this is such a sin, but I'm going to do it anyway. Like, that wasn't even a thought in my mind. Like, I had a child my senior year of college. You think I was thinking like, oh, I better not sleep with my boyfriend, like, that's a sin? That was never a thought in my mind. But I also wasn't surrounding myself with people who like wanted to hold me accountable for having a relationship with God and wanting to be more like living my life for God. So highly recommend, if you're listening to this, you need to find a solid group of people, or find a church, or even an online connection of just people who can hold you accountable and help you. Because it's really easy when you're in a good mood and when you know, feel those like sparks of hope, it's really easy to follow God's word. It's really hard when you're down bad and you have a quick outlet of like, oh, I could just go drink, I could just go hook up with someone, like with a situationship, all of those things.
Yeah. And I think it's so cool too. I think God works in ways we don't, I mean, he definitely works in ways we don't realize. Cause like, if I wouldn't have had the couple of girls I had met at church before I got in that relationship, like, I wouldn't have even had anything to like anyone to text to like go back to. Yeah. And accountability, like you said, is huge, because you want people who actually love you to be speaking into your life. And like, love is not like, hey, stay as comfortable as you want. Like, it's just not. And yeah, that's even hard, I think, sometimes as Christians with each other, to like love each other the right way. Cause like, we obviously want to give good advice, but also like, we don't want to see people hurt. But it's like, sometimes that is God's, yeah, sometimes he needs us to get uncomfortable. So yeah, totally agree.
I think that advice also crosses over into the health world too. Being healthier, you need people around you that hold you accountable or are like-minded, and those, like you said, do a devotional every day, just like a little habit. You just build on those every single day, and it starts to become a part of you, and it starts to like consume you, but in a good way. It becomes your life.
For sure. And also, like, I always think you cannot heal in an environment, whether it be, you know, mentally, whether it be spiritually, physically, you cannot heal an environment that made you sick. So if you feel like, I just want to get my life together and I can't, and not to blame other people, but it's like, check your surroundings, because you really are the sum of the people that you hang around with. So if you are trying to build your relationship with God, if you are trying to get healthier, like, you need to be surrounding yourself with people who have those same exact goals, because it's really hard to like rise up when the people you're surrounding with yourself are staying the same. And that's their own, everyone gets to make their own decisions. Everyone has free will. And that's, I'm not saying like you're better if you walk away from, you know, friendships or relationships who aren't on the same level, but like, you really do need to take accountability for yourself and rise above what you're surrounding yourself with if you actually want lasting change.
Yeah. I've even had to let go of friendships just because like their anxiety was so bad, and it's just, or they're just so negative. I'm trying to be better and like get away from that and be happier all around mentally. And you have to like learn to let things go to be better yourself.
For sure.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I don't know how much you guys are wanting to talk about the fitness side of things, or like how much more about faith, which I could talk about for like hours, as you know, Mary Kate. But I do think like, if we are like transitioning, I think your faith does impact fitness and health so much. Like, I think that's something I've learned, is it can be really difficult. Like, if somebody struggles with, whether it is binge drinking on the weekends or emotional eating or body image issues, like, faith actually genuinely can help with that, just like as a byproduct of your relationship with God and how you want to honor your body and like the confidence you get from how he sees you. Like, it's just crazy now that I've grown in it so much, how I've seen with my clients, like, oh wow, this is like a missing piece for actually a lot of people. And it can be really hard to work through some of those things without like being grounded in the word and in faith too. So it really does like correlate really well.
Yeah. Can you go into detail about And like, we can just bounce back and forth between topics, but do you want to go into detail about how, like, you know, when I first found your page, you had like kind of a little bit talked about like how you kind of struggled with like an eating disorder. And then, you know, you have been more open about like, I wanted to physically like change my appearance. And just like, I was realizing like I wanted to keep changing things, but nothing was ever fulfilling me and like satisfying me and being like, oh, okay, now I have the perfect, you know, body, the face, all of that. And then I like when you talk about like how your faith, like it's like truly finding a relationship with Jesus is what is going to satisfy you. No worldly thing, no boyfriend, no, you know, you have the best friends in the world. It's like, it's really, you have to find that relationship. So I'd love for you to touch on that.
Yeah. I think so whenever I started my Instagram, I got a lot of traction because I was like so lean and end of high school and early college, not from like a healthy way. I was just like, didn't eat barely and just did tons of cardio. So I was really lean. I got just so much traction and attention for that. And so I think that just kind of became something I latched onto. And then because a lot of my past was just in and out of like little situationships with guys that were not God honoring at all, I think I just always, my body was something that was like, this is why people like me, like that kind of thing, whether it was guys or social media. So it was like always something I was really tied to trying to maintain. Eventually, I don't even know how I got past my eating disorder. It wasn't faith related. I think that would have definitely helped at the time. I just, yeah, eventually by some grace, I got out of that like a few years back, but even like most recently, kind of, I think what you were speaking to. So I, at the end of maybe middle of 2024, I did like another deficit phase, another dieting phase, and I lost my period at the end of it. And that's when I like was like, dang, okay, obviously I keep trying to chase a physique that's like not healthy for me. And like, I've done it like 3 different times. Like literally I had done that same diet. I lose my period at the end of it. I go right back to the same weight because my body likes to be where it is right now, like where I've gotten back to. But I think this time having my relationship with God, it was like very healing for me to go through that. It was hard, but like very, I think a wake up call of like, hey, like you have to stop idolizing that one version of yourself because like that's where you've gotten the most attention or compliments or whatever in the past. And like realize like my purpose is for you, like don't require, like I don't need you to have the most Instagram perfect physique for the purposes I have for you. Like it's okay to steward your body, take care of it. I think he actually like wants us to do that. We can show up to love others better and like serve him better with that. But I was definitely idolizing it in a not good way. And so, yeah, I think losing my period that time is like what really sparked that shift for me. I was like, okay, like something has to change because this has happened 3 times. And so, yeah, I gained that weight back, got my period back. We're at 4 consistent cycles now, which is exciting. But it has been like very healing and just, yeah, a lot of ways because I've had to lean on him of like finding my confidence and how he sees me and the purposes he has for me. And yeah, it's been a kind of a hard transition on social media, I think, because obviously since I do online coaching, it's easier to sell online coaching when I talk about physique transformation. So it's been like an interesting shift of like, how do I market this? Because I know I can still help people with that, but I want it to start in their mind and in their lifestyle versus like it only being about the physique pursuit. So yeah, it's definitely been a really cool journey with that. But I do think that losing my period was what really sparked it this past time of like, okay, obviously I'm doing something that is not fully, you know, aligned with what I say I value because I was still tied to that like leaner physique. So yeah, I don't know if that was kind of like the summary you were looking for, but it's been like a big journey with that and has definitely shifted my page over time as well. And like what I post about.
For sure. Okay. Also, I know a bunch of like girls are obviously going to be listening to this. And one of the most common questions I get when I like talk about my faith is, how do you start? How do you get closer to God? Because I think like maybe sometimes for me to at least put into words of like, because I didn't just wake up one day and was like, oh, me and God are besties and I feel so close. How would you say that your relationship has developed over time? And like, if you were to have to restart all over again tomorrow and try to build a relationship with God, what are you giving as advice for everyone else?
I think a big thing is because I think a lot of people may even say they believe in God. Maybe people who even don't really know much about Jesus, or maybe they don't believe certain things that the Bible says about Jesus. They're like, oh no, but I believe in God. And there's, I mean, plenty of places in scripture where it talks about like Jesus is the image of God. Like that is God stepped into humanity for us. And like, so I think if you want to know God and you want to be able to see him, like he gave us Jesus for that reason. Like that's literally why, I mean, Jesus came for a lot of reasons, but that's one of the big reasons that he came to this earth, was to show us God's heart and his love for us. And yeah, to show us the image of God essentially. And so I think where if somebody's starting, I would say start in like maybe the Gospels. So like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where it does outline the life of Jesus and you can see how he lived, you know, what he did for us and really just like his character, because yeah, he is the perfect image of God. And so as you get to see him more and get to know him more, you're going to understand God more. But I think staying rooted in the word, because there's so many, I think, like false gospels out there, whether it's prosperity doctrine or just like God wants you to have the most comfortable life ever here and you're just going to get blessed with all these material things. And like, that's not biblical. And so I think it can really harm your relationship with God, because if something bad happens, then it just doesn't, yeah, it contradicts maybe the character that you had in mind of God. So I think starting with Jesus and getting into the scriptures, there's awesome resources like the Bible Project, where if you're like confused on the context of like, who was this book written to? What does all this mean? Like they break it down really well. Also really like Olive Tree is a really good Bible study resource. But yeah, I think starting with Jesus though is the biggest thing, because if you don't get that right, like nothing else is going to be right either. Because also you can't love God without understanding how he loved us first. Like you just can't. And he loved us first through Jesus. And so we have to get that part first. So that's what I would say, because I think it's easy to get really like caught up in all the big questions and like, oh, I don't know enough. Where do I start? But yeah, I think if you start there and God is so faithful, like we really don't do any of this on our own. It's like we have free will, right? But God works in our heart to help us understand things. He leads us to people that can help us. So I think, yeah, just start in the word and pray to him, even if you don't fully understand it yet. Like ask him to give you understanding, ask him to guide you. That's where I would say. But definitely one other thing is being very intentional of what you're letting into your mind. Because if you're filling your mind, maybe you read your Bible, I don't know, a couple times a week, but then the rest of your week is full of like worldly influences, like that's going to be most of your thoughts. And so I think even if you don't feel any emotion yet, or you're not fully understanding yet, just try to discipline yourself and commit to like staying in the word and filling your mind with that. And over time, it is powerful. Like it will start to add up, and yeah, you'll gain more understanding. But yeah, so that's where I would say start.
Both of you guys mentioned having fears leading up, getting into it. Can you maybe share some of those fears? I think a lot of people would be able to relate to that.
Yeah. So I think one of my biggest fears, well, is one, the unknown, right? Like it's kind of crazy when you think about like, I'm just going to give up the way I have been living in hopes that like I'll get closer to God or my life will become better or I'll understand, you know, my purpose more. I think for me, it was so hard because it was like, I was giving up huge things in my life. I gave up 99.9% of my friendships. I gave up my relationship with my son's dad, like, and the guilt that I had of just being like, I understand why, you know, if you don't have a child with someone, like, I get, you can leave, it's okay, like, find someone else. But it's like, my fear of like, I was scared that I was going to be sad for the rest of my life. And like, that was something I just had to give to God and just be like, even if I am sad every single day for the rest of my life, and even if I never find a partner again, and even if I am just a single mom and I only get to have one kid, because my worldly desires are, I want to be a mom and I want to have a bunch of kids and I want to be married and like, I want to live this fairy tale life. I had to surrender all of my hopes and dreams and just like rely on God's word. And I think that was the hardest thing for me, because I truly have never felt more isolated in my life than when I was trying to develop my relationship with God. And I had zero idea or clue if like it was all going to work out in my favor. And now I think back on like the trajectory and the milestones of my life, and I'm like, God was working through me through absolutely all of this. I just at the time had no idea because I wasn't close to God. And now like I can absolutely see the way he's worked through me, through my business, through me being a mom, And it's just crazy to see. But like, I had to fully surrender my entire life. And that was absolutely the scariest part for me, because I didn't know. Like, I knew in my, I kept telling myself, like, even if my life here on earth sucks, every day for the rest of my life, I know that I have a place in heaven. And like, that is just what got me through. Like, if I have to suffer here on earth to secure my spot in heaven, I'm going to do it. And that's really just what I had to tell myself. Like, I had to lay it all down, strip myself of all worldly, and just really deep dive into bettering myself for God.
Yeah, I feel like I would agree with like all of that in terms of the fears of just like the unknown of laying everything down. But the fear I was referencing in terms of like when I was in that relationship and I was like, I had that like fear of God almost. Like, it wasn't really, oh God, I desire you so much right now, I want to give up this relationship for you. I think I just had like a really deep like knowing deep down of like, okay, it doesn't feel obviously like any of us are going to really die, but like we all are. And I would literally get scared. I would literally like wake up some nights and just like not be able to go back to sleep, because I was like, I literally know how far I am from God right now. And that like is terrifying to me, because I could die tomorrow. Like, I, something could happen. And that's like, and like I said, what Mary Kate just said, I also had similar fears of like, I don't want to be hurt, I don't want to give this up. But I think the fear that brought me back to God was actually just that reverence of like, okay, I'm actually, this is my life, but like, it's not, I don't get to make the rules of like what happens after this life kind of thing. And so that, yeah, it was almost like that just reverence for like, wow, I actually am really small, and like, you are in full control. And like, that was like the kind of, so when I say fear, I guess I mean more a little bit of fear, like, yeah, I don't want to die and not be in eternity with God. But I think just the reverence would hit me sometimes, because I'd be like, dang, like, you are so big, and I am like just trying to act like I can do my own thing and have no consequences with it. And then I would get, yeah, really scared and be like, okay, I need to change. But there is a verse, like, I think sometimes it, I mean, his love does draw us to repentance, but there is a verse that talks about like, he can also use like that fear and that reverence to do it as well. And I feel like that's maybe a little more what happened with me. But I think each person like has maybe a little bit of a different journey. But yeah, so, but also agree with Mary Kate. It's just scary to go into the unknown. And it's scary to accept the fact of like, when I do this, it's going to hurt. And like, you just have to be okay with that. Yeah, you have to really count the cost, I think, before you decide, I think. And when you count the costs, you, yeah, you know it's going to hurt when you lay stuff down. But you, yeah, just kind of have to trust in what you do know about his character to know that he's going to meet you in that and like help you get through it. So, yeah.
For sure. Also, I want to point out, and I used to think this way too, is like, so many people will be like, well, if God is real, why is my life so bad? Or why do bad things happen? And it's like, nowhere in the Bible does God ever say your life on earth is going to be perfect. You're going to live this fairy tale. Nothing bad will ever happen. No tragedies. You're exempt from them. He does not promise that. And I think what we don't realize is like, sometimes I used to have the victim mindset for sure. Like, when I got pregnant and I became chronically sick, had my son, I was like, I was such a victim. And I'm so glad I got out of the victim mentality. But I was just like, why would this happen to me? Why does, you know, God allow bad things to happen? But then I had to really like check myself and be like, no, I did this to myself. Like, my worldly actions are what led me to be living this life. God doesn't necessarily want us to suffer, but it's like, we have free will to make our decisions. And usually when we're making choices that are not centered around God, yeah, our life is probably going to suffer. And I feel like there's definitely days where, you know, I still get so sad or down. And I'm not saying I'm exempt from ever feeling sad again, or tragedy is not going to happen in my life. It totally is. But I would say, the fact that I now have a relationship with God, and like, I can lean onto his promises of like, yeah, maybe life on earth here is going to be really hard, but like, when I get to heaven, it's all going to be worth it. And I think that's something that like people definitely need to remember. I also want to touch on, I know women are listening to this and maybe you're in a relationship or a marriage, and we can touch on both, because obviously marriage is a lot different than just being in a relationship. But if girls are listening to this right now and they are like, wow, I'm in a relationship that is not God-centered, I don't know what to do, do I leave? Is he going to change? My number one advice is, it is not your duty to change your boyfriend. Your boyfriend is not your husband. You cannot this is what I did in my relationship. I begged my son's dad. I like would shove Bible verses down his throat. Like I would buy him all these books about being like a God honoring husband and a leader and a provider. And like, if someone is not ready to hear God's word, it's not going to work. And I stressed myself out for years trying to make it work. And I'm not saying my son's dad is a bad person. I think he is a great person. He's a great dad, but we just were not on the same page. We were very unequally yoked. That's the best way I can describe it. And it, I had to just give up the idea of me saving him and me bringing him to God. Like that is nobody's duty except God's. And that was so hard for me to understand because like I just had this ideal life in my head of like, he's going to be the one that, you know, brings me closer to God. And he, we're going to have this like godly relationship. Christ is at the center. And it's like, if it's not meant to be, it's not going to work. And if it's not from God, it's not going to work. And you can try your hardest. And I feel like I was literally like, it was like pulling teeth out to get this relationship to work. And then I just had to surrender and realize this is not from God. Because if it was from God, everything would start, would like be coming together and we would be able to become one. And, you know, marriage would be on the books for us. And it was just like, that was not it. And that was really hard for me to have to come to the realization. Cause I kept making excuses for years of like, he's going to come around. It's going to happen. We're going to have this godly relationship and, you know, God's saving us. But if it's not in God's will, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. I think my advice on that, I think just start where you are with God, but at least talk to him about it. Because I do think there's also people out there who maybe totally agree with what even you're saying of like, yeah, I know that, but I can't, like, they literally don't feel like they can give it up. And that's how I felt. I was like, I know this isn't from God. Like, I literally know it's pulling me away, but like, I did not think I could. And so that was like all whenever I finally talked to God after like months and months of not, I just wrote, like, it was a very short journal entry. I was like, I know I'm really far from you. I can't give this up. You're going to have to help me. And he showed up. I literally can't even fully comprehend how. I think it was partly working in my heart, partly outside circumstances. But I think you just have to be so honest with him. Like when you read through the Psalms and you see just, yeah, the raw emotions that, well, David wrote a lot of the Psalms, but there's others too. But they just bring such raw emotions to God and they're so honest with him. And I think he knows what we're thinking anyways. And so I think bringing that to him, and then as he does work on your heart, I think just trusting him when your emotions don't feel aligned quite yet. When I ended that relationship, I still didn't want to, but I just trusted enough of like his pull that like, okay, he's going to meet me in this obedience. And he did. But I think it's, yeah, I think it's even kind of to your point, trusting God with them too. Cause like, I also wanted to be like, well, God, are you sure there's no way? Like, did I say something wrong? Like, could I have said this different? Should I send him this or whatever? And it's like, I think for maybe some people, God may have that. And like you said, especially in like, if you're married kind of thing, you've already made that commitment and union to each other. But in a relationship, I do think it's more like a dating type relationship. Okay, well, that's your son too. And I actually think me disobeying you, it's probably going to hurt his walk more than anything, even though I think I'm trying to help. Like, it could end up being actually something that he doesn't need either in his faith. Like, I still think about that to this day. I'm like, I actually think letting go of that is hopefully going to help him find God one day too, because now he doesn't have me to lean on either. And who knows what God's doing in his life right now. But I think even just, yeah, giving that and being like, that's your son too. Like, you also love him just how you've been pursuing me. And like, I can trust you with that and trust, like, if that is your will for me to be back together with this person one day, it will happen. Like, we don't have to try to plan it, which I think is the hardest part, is trusting God's ways, which are much higher than our ways. So, yeah.
Exactly. For sure. And I think, like, I was so panicked at, like, no, it has to work and I have to make it work. And, like, and it was just like, there was such a hard disconnect that there was just no way it was going to. And I just kind of had to like surrender and be like, okay, if it's going to work, like God will make it work. There's nothing I can do that is just going to like be that solidification of like, okay, it's meant to be me and you. It's just God will always bring people together that are meant to be together.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But it is hard. And I think reach out to people too. If you have even a even if it's a believer you haven't talked to in a long time, like they are going to be more than happy. I think sometimes people feel like shame, which is what I felt. Like I waited a long time to reach out to my one friend from church because I was just like, dang, like I have been literally ignoring her because I didn't want the conviction, but like I needed someone to talk to. And she was like at the gym and she was like, oh my gosh, I'm coming over right now. Like I've been praying for you. I've been like wanting you to reach out so bad about this. And like in my head, I'm like, oh, she doesn't like me anymore. Like I stopped coming to everything, you know? So I think reaching out to people as well is very powerful. So you can get prayer and just have people who can speak into your life with encouragement as well.
For sure. And then one other thing that I did that has like, this has been probably my number one saving grace outside of just like connecting with God's word. I found my now boyfriend, which is also another like God wink of like, we should be together. He found me a Christian therapist and he was like, Mirky, you talk to nobody about your feelings. Nobody knows what's going on inside your head. You have to talk to someone who is also like God honoring and like wants to set you on the right path. And that was like the biggest saving grace for me because the way she just like talks to me and explained things and like, you know, she like at the beginning, she talked a lot about free will. And she's like, I'm never going to tell you, like, you have to break up with your son's dad. You have to do X, Y, Z. She's like, you have free will to do whatever you want. But she was like, that's the thing about life. You have free will. And then there's God's words and God's promises. And it's up to you to make the decision of which you're going to follow. And that was such like a gut punch of like, oh, wow. Like if I really want my life to change, like I have to surrender. So I highly recommend if you're like me and like I'm super outgoing, pretty extroverted, but like when it comes to talking to people about like, you know, things that personal things in my life or like what I'm struggling with, it's really hard for me to be able to tell people. And finding a Christian therapist that I could just dump it all on and her give me like recommendations of, you know, what scriptures I should be reading, giving advice of like, hey, like I, you know, read this book, it would be really great for you. Just having someone who could like, I could talk to in a non-judgmental zone and she could keep all of my deepest, darkest secrets and like, just really be a guidance to me. That has been a game changer. I've been with her for a year and I seriously don't think I'll ever stop going to her just because like, as I step into my next season of my life, like I would love for her to do, you know, premarital counseling with us. And I would love to just have her as a guidance throughout the rest of my life because life is always going to be hard and we're always going to want to, you know, backtrack and fall back into old ways. So I think finding someone to hold you accountable is so good. And if you're listening, I'm sorry, but she only sees people in Iowa. So if you're in Iowa, you can reach out and ask me for her name, but she can't see anyone from other states. I already asked.
That's cool though. I did a couple of therapy sessions with like a Christian counselor, but it was good. I just don't think we were like the best fit, but I do think that's awesome. I think once you find one that is like a really good fit for you, that can be like such a powerful thing because they have like the professional experience and education in like how the mind works too, then paired with the faith, it can be like, yeah, a really awesome way that God uses somebody's skill and gifts to like help others too.
For sure.
Can we go back to, you mentioned you lost your period. And I think some people think that's like a flex, like, oh, cool. Like that's nice, convenient, no period, but that's your body screaming for help. That is a vital sign for health and our periods are really important. So can you maybe touch on that?
Yeah. So I think first it's always like, I always try to preface when it comes to somebody losing their period, there are a lot of reasons. So I think a lot of, and I've had this conversation in my DMs quite a bit because so mine was functional hypothalamic amenorrhea, but there are other reasons that you can lose a period or it can become irregular, whether it's PCOS, which obviously, yes, you can still work on healing through lifestyle and things like that. There can be actually like issues like with the pituitary gland, like there can be deeper stuff. So I think it is important that people, if we are talking about a loss of a period or somebody could be pregnant or have cancer, like there's so many things. And so, yeah, it is important to make sure you do your own proper testing. Mine was from too high of stress, dieting and getting too lean. And I wasn't really over exercising, but paired with the other two things, I just couldn't recover from what I was doing, even though it was like only 3 days a week. And so, yeah, so that's why I lost mine. But I did just want to preface that because I think sometimes I've just gotten that a lot in my DMs of like, oh, I wonder if that's why mine is. I'm like, well, we need to ask like a lot of questions first to see that. But yes, your period is kind of like that report card of kind of the stress that your body is sensing, especially if we're talking about something like HA, hypothalamic amenorrhea. And the reason though, I mean, it's so, so important because if we're thinking about the what gives you your period, that also means that there's like certain hormones that are being released and they're at certain levels. And if we have something like estrogen, for example, that's really low, like in somebody with HA, well, that's not only just impacting the fact that, oh, I'm not having a period. It's also impacting your bone health. Estrogen is also like cardioprotective. And I mean, if we look at even like progesterone, that's like a very calming hormone. It can help with sleep. And so I think, and there's, you know, a whole list of other things as well. Typically, if somebody's living a lifestyle that's causing them to have their period go away, they're also probably living in a way where they do have more like psychological stress and maybe they're isolating themselves more, trying to be perfect with food, you know, things like that. So yeah, it can have like a wide reaching impact on somebody's life. And I think that's the big, I mean, future fertility, like there's so many different things. And so I think, yeah, it can seem kind of innocent in the moment of like, it's fine. I guess it's kind of nice to not have it. But really, yeah, there's so many downstream things that down the road can be impacted. And when you're thinking about bone health, I mean, osteoporosis is something that's actually really common, especially like with women as they age. And so you just are increasing the risk of that. And yeah, I think that was like the big, honestly, wake up for me. And that was like, okay, this isn't just like, oh, my period's gone. It's like, this is going to impact me in the long term if I don't actually do something about it. I mean, there's so many reasons, but those are just like a few off the top of my head that I have.
I think back to when I was on birth control and I would purposely skip my period. You just, you know, skip your sugar pills and keep taking your pills so you don't have a period. And I just cringe. My poor body was, what was I doing to myself on purpose? Horrible.
And I think it's just the lack of knowledge we have or like of information given to us. I think back to health class in high school. Did I learn a single thing besides how to like count macros? No, I don't think I learned anything. So it's like, I don't think anyone's purposely sabotaging their health. It's just like there's no information on it, even just in birth control in general. Like you don't go to the doctor and they don't tell you, hey, this is a group one carcinogen. This makes your risks for XYZ so much higher for your rates of depression. Like this, nobody's telling us these things because nobody would be willingly just hopping on them if we actually knew the truth. So it's just such a lack of like knowledge and understanding as consumers. And I obviously wish doctors were held more accountable to like, hey, you gotta give the full details. But honestly, I don't think most doctors even know
they just gave me depression pills. They didn't say like, oh, this is probably from your birth control. No, they just gave me something to quickly fix the problem, which, you know, in turn causes more problems. It's a very upsetting healthcare system. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's also, and that's why these conversations are good, because I think obviously we want acute care for, you know, certain things that come up. Like we need that. Or if we're in a certain situation, there can be, it's such a grace sometimes to have those quote unquote quick fixes. But I think it's like it becomes a problem when it's people, that's like what people are using when they should be going to lifestyle for all these other conditions. And I think that's why these conversations are good, because obviously, yeah, go to the doctor if you have an acute thing and you need something. But if we're looking at, you know, certain things, whether it is even like certain PCOS type of things, or I mean, I could list a whole host of things, but if you don't start with lifestyle, then yeah, it's just going to be a band-aid. Like it's not, which is, I think that's what the medical system should be for, is like quick, acute solutions for things. But there are things that you can heal without needing that. I think that's where the disconnect is like, what things are those and what do I need to focus on my lifestyle for? Which we should always focus on lifestyle. But yeah, I think that, it's definitely a consumer and medical system problem that just kind of like compounds. And yeah, it's, I get that all the time. I have so many clients that I feel like come to me on so many different medications, and it can be hard because especially once you're used to being on all of that, I think people get really fearful of like trusting that they can heal things without it, you know. But I've had people like get off of IBS medications, get off of depression medications and things. And I don't mind, you know, depression meds. It's like a bridge and things like that. I think it can be good for that. But yeah, it's just crazy how I've seen like you really can transition off a lot of that stuff. But yeah, a lot of people don't trust their bodies, I think, to like heal with lifestyle either. So
do you want to, you just touched on it a little bit about seeing clients, but do you want to tell people like, you know, what your Instagram is, what you do, how you see clients? And for reference, I was actually one of Sydney. I've worked with Sydney a few times. And she's such a great resource. I also love that she brings in an approach of like a holistic like lifestyle, diet, the way you're living. And she also like reads labs and stuff. But then she also like gives, you know, the fitness aspect and the macro. So it's a nice like bridge to come together. And like you do a little bit of both, which I think is perfect for people, because I think a lot of people think you got to be all or nothing. And it's just like you have a great way of just bringing both together.
Yeah. I also wanted to say before I touch on my Instagram coaching, I do have a full episode on hypothalamic amenorrhea, like a full breakdown of that on my podcast. So if your listeners are interested, it's a really good like deep dive in the whole period conversation. It's Fit to Live podcast if they do want to check that out. But so for my coaching, yeah, it has transitioned, I would say, a little bit more to lately of becoming, even if somebody wants to, I don't force this, but incorporating more faith into it as well. And like, okay, let's say they struggle with emotional eating or just poor body image or whatever, like how can we use faith to also like just speak truth into your life and help you with those things? So that is something I've been incorporating more lately, which has been cool to just see how that's actually really helps people. But yeah, I definitely take a very, so like you said, kind of bridging like the science side of things with like macros and energy balance and just training smartly, weight training, not overdoing weight training, but then also bridging that with like the holistic aspect and kind of taking that mindset and lifestyle first approach. Because if we don't have your habits down, if you don't know how to work through or even recognize where too much stress is in your life, like if you do have maybe poor thought patterns towards food, you're never going to get the results you want, at least in a sustainable, enjoyable way anyways. So it's kind of bridging those two. But yeah, I do just one-on-one. It's very personalized custom coaching. It's called Fit to Live Coaching. The program is called Redefine Fit. But if they're interested, my Instagram is Sydney Tollett. And then there's a link in my bio with like the application. And if they do apply, I have like a little overview video that I can send them with more details and things like that too. But
perfect. I love it. Jordan, do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I think this was a great episode. I think a lot of people are going to be impacted by it and take away some really great, great advice.
I agree.
That's it for today's episode of Moms Unbothered. If this conversation made you think differently, question the norm, or even just feel a little more empowered in your health journey, do us a favor. Share this with another mom who needs to hear it.
If you're loving the show, the best way to support us is by leaving a quick review, subscribing, and connecting with us on social media. It helps us reach more moms who are ready to take back control of what goes on, in, and around their families. We'll be back next week with another conversation, but until then, trust your instincts, question to everything, and stay unbothered. Bothered.